I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
That's all that matters, right?
I don't need to go to church to be a Christian.
Right?
Right?
Right.
As long as I live a decent life.
Don't cheat on my taxes.
On my boyfriend.
On my wife.
On my business partner.
I'll be okay.
I'll be okay.
Besides, you don't know what kind of church I grew up in.
It was boring.
Irrelevant.
Hypocritical.
I can figure out this Christian thing better on my own.
I don't believe in the church.
I don't need the church.
Right?
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 That video represents the views of a lot of Christians today. Because you see, Christians from all denominations and all walks of life are staying away from churches in large numbers. Many simply believe they don't have time for the church. In past years, Sunday morning meant church followed by an afternoon of rest. But in our 24/7 world, Sunday is now just another weekday. Most stores and restaurants are open on Sunday. Youth sporting events are in full swing on Sunday. For some, Sunday is even a work day. For others, Sunday is the only day they can sleep in and get caught up. With so many options today, church has become a lower priority for many people. There are a lot of other reasons why people don't have time for church. Number one, they say the church is full of hypocrites. They believe one thing but do something else. Or they say, number two, they say all the church ever asks and talks about is money. Or thirdly, they would say the church is totally irrelevant to my life. I can't relate to anything that goes on. Or fourthly, they say, you know what, I don't have to go to church. I can get my religious experience in other ways. I can watch a podcast or a website or read a book or watch TV or radio or even go to a conference. You see, many Christians aren't asking today, which church should I go to? Instead, many are asking, should I even bother with church at all? If 8 out of 10 people in this valley don't go to church, it's obvious the church needs to make some changes. What will it take to change the church? What are some things that we need to do differently? Because we're in this series on Christian atheists, and you see, Christian atheists believe in God, but not in His church, because they don't think they need it. It's not relevant to their lives. How can the church become relevant again? What are some changes that we need to make so we can impact more of this valley with the good news of Jesus Christ? Let me suggest some. First of all, I think we must be the change we want to see. We must be the change we want to see. Let's admit it, the church is not perfect. Christ Church of the Valley is not perfect. It's very simple. It's made up of a lot of imperfect people. And even though this church is not perfect, think how much better it would be if all of us would make a serious commitment to it. God is not calling us just to go to church. He's calling us to be the church, which is the hope of the world. You say, well, man, I'd like to see some changes in this church. Awesome. Then you be the change that you want to see. Breaks my heart when I visit a lot of churches of all sizes, and no one ever comes to introduce themselves, never says anything to me. You see, God cared so much for hurting people that He told the story about a shepherd who would leave the 99 sheep in the pen that were safe, and he would go out and risk his life to find the one sheep that was lost. Lost people matter to God, and lost people should always matter to us. We must never lose our concern to reach out to people who are far from God. We must never forget how important each person is. I want to give you an action item this week after each thing we talk about. And here's action item number one. I will meet one new person each week. I'll meet one new person each week. Would you like a friendly church? Then be a friendly person. It's my prayer that Christ Church of Valley would be the friendliest church in America. So let me maybe try to illustrate what I think friendliness is and what I think friendliness is not. Is that fair? I know the camera guys are having fun. All right? So let's and I haven't talked to anybody ahead of time or anything, all right? Let's illustrate this. Hi. How are you? My name's Don.
Dustin.
Dustin, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Okay? That's not friendliness. Okay? You with me? That's not friendliness. And that's where, if we're not careful, most of us buy into, because at the beginning of the service, we say what? Stand up and turn and greet people next to you. Or if you're already standing, greet people next to you, as if that's the canned approach to friendliness. But just because you do that doesn't mean we're friendly. That means that's just kind of churchy. Is that fair? Okay, so what's friendly? It might be like this. Dustin, how long have you been in Arizona?
A day.
Awesome. Right. See, this proves my point. All right? You didn't know I was going to talk to you before this, did you? All right. How do you like the pastor? Awesome. You are a good man. Yeah. Did you already give? You can get your money back. The offering plate. All right. Good. So how did you happen to visit CCV?
Family
brought you.
Yep.
Fantastic. Man, we are awesome. We're glad to have you. Good. Great church. Preacher's weird, but it's a great church. All right. Now, so here's the key. I believe this is so vital that you've heard me say that I pray every weekend, Lord, introduce me to one brand new person that comes to this big church. Because I believe that most people that come here think, I'm going to that big church up there. Nobody cares. It's all about numbers. They don't even care about us. And when you go out of your way to make somebody feel special and important, because we all are important, right on? Come on, you better believe that, you know? Yeah. We're all important. We're all special to God. And when you go out of your way to just show some interest in someone, to me, it'll make a radical difference. So my prayer is that every week when you come, you would have the same prayer that I have. Lord, help me meet one person that I've never met before and get to know them. That does not mean, hi, Dustin, you're on your own. That does not mean that, okay? So every week when you come in, we don't have to come in and sit down. I think it'd be awesome if when we got ready to start the church, everybody would be up already talking to each other so much, there'd be a buzz in here that we'd have to kind of cool you down before we start, all right? So here's what we're going to do now, and if it scares you to death, relax, you're my wife, okay? Yeah, this would scare her, but she's going to get over it if she wants to go to heaven, all right? So we're okay, all right? So we got to do, everybody stand up, just stand up. Wait a minute, here's what I want you to do, and if you're spread out and you say, I'm by myself, nobody came to me, it's your fault, get up and move. Ask them three questions, those that I ask. Hey, what's your name? How long have you been in Arizona? Thirdly, what brought you to CCV? Go for it. Okay, that's enough. Okay, you can be seated. Wasn't the sound of that unbelievable? If I walked into church that was going on, is that exciting? I'd run like crazy, to tell you the truth. That's contagious. Would you see that that's one of the most important things that you can do to be used by God every week is to reach out to the person next to you and ask them two or three things to get to know them, because there's so many people here that have said, the church is boring, dead, and irrelevant. I don't want anything to do with it. This is my last shot. I'm coming because my family dragged me. It's my only day in town, okay? And because of that, you know what? I'll come, and you never know one thing that would change somebody's life. Number two, we must see the church as a necessity instead of an option. You see, many Christian atheists today commit only half-heartedly to the church, if they even commit to the church at all. You read Acts chapter 2, it's the story of the first century church. And the church was not just something that people added to a busy week. It was the center of their lives. Because in Acts chapter 2, the church was not a physical building. It was a community of people who shared a common faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't simply go to church. They were the church devoted to the mission of Almighty God. Listen how it describes part of that in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which was the word of God that they knew, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Imagine if our church got involved in the neighborhood schools so much that the surrounding community took notice. Imagine if our church was so involved in the inner city that the city government officials took notice. Imagine if our church visited people in prison so regularly that countless inmates became believers. Imagine if our church prayed for all those sick in the hospital and then sent cards to all of their families. Imagine the difference in our children's faith if they saw their parents making the church a necessity instead of an option. Like you've heard me share before several months ago, that right now the only way we can track who comes to our church is by the parents that leave their kids in our children's area. And we have found out, to our surprise, that the regular attenders and members of CCV that drop their kids off in the children's area, there's no way I can track here because we don't have chips that we put in your arms to scan you on the way in. We're moving to that, but other than okay, we're moving there, all right? We have found out the average family comes 1.8 out of 4 weeks. 1.8 out of 4 weeks. That means most of our people come to church less than half of the time. That means most of our people see church as an option rather than a necessity. Let me ask you, what would happen if you sent your kids to school only half the time? What would happen if you showed up for work only half of the time? What would happen if Steve Nash only played in half of the Suns' basketball games? You see, people who see church as an option are second-chair Christians. They're Christian atheists. They believe God and His church, but they live for themselves. And they go to church unless there's something else they would rather do. And for those of you that say, what do you mean a second-chair Christian? Well, I share a message where we divide people into three chairs and three groups. And the first chair are those that live for God and put Him first. The second chair are those that say, I love God, but they live for themselves. And the third chair are those that simply live for God. And what I want you to understand is, if you're in the second chair and you see church as an option instead of a necessity, you are a second chair Christian. So what's it going to take to make church a necessity instead of an option? This is action item number two. I will attend church faithfully when I am in town. Put in the parentheses every week. Because faithfully to you might be once a month. Faithfully is every week. You say, what do you mean, Don? If I'm breathing, I got to be here? Absolutely. That's what it takes to make a dynamic church. That's what it takes to change the world. Do you want your kids to grow up and love Jesus Christ? Then make sure the church is a necessity instead of an option. Lead by example. One of the reasons that all of my brothers and sisters are believers, it's not because our little church was dynamic, it wasn't. It's not because the preacher was good, he wasn't. It wasn't because the music was outstanding, it wasn't. It wasn't because the girls were beautiful, they weren't, okay? There was nothing in the church I grew up where you'd get up and say, I want to go to church. But you know why church was dynamic? Because mom and dad led the way. And they were there every week, and they led by example. And because I loved my mom and dad, and they were my heroes, I said, if it's good for them, it must be what I need in my life. I believe values are so much more caught than they are taught. It's not what we preach to our kids. It's when our kids see us living out Jesus Christ. I think we've got to see the church, gang, as a necessity. It's the center of our lives rather than something we do to fill in if we don't have anything else going on the weekend. Thirdly, we must see the church as a place for people to belong. A Barna poll revealed that 92% of Americans claim to be independent. We as Americans love to admit that we are independent. The problem is, God never intended for us as Christians to be independent. He wants us to be dependent on Him and dependent upon each other. Romans 12 says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That means we're dependent. You see, if the church is a body, then I believe the church is incomplete without all of us together bringing our skills and our talents and our abilities to help the body function together. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read a couple scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." He's talking about our physical body. "If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' we'd be in a world of hurt. If the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' the same thing. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part," in other words, if we were all hands, "where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Verse 27, drop down. "Now you," he switches over, "now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." Each of you is an ear, a hand, a nose, a foot, and so on. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12. Turn back to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Says, "For it is by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God's given you." Here he is again. "Just as each of us has one body with many parts, many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and yet each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it proportioned to his faith. If it's in serving, let him serve. If it's in teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is in showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." What is the point he's trying to say? The point he's trying to say is that all of us are needed in the body of Christ. Because if all of us are leaders, then nobody's going to show mercy. If all boys showing mercy, nobody's going to lead. Each and every one of us has a specific purpose that God has for us. And that's why I believe when we come together week after week, so many people come here looking for a place to belong, a place to get connected, a place to pour their lives into something bigger and greater than themselves. That's why some of the most valuable people here or those volunteer partners out in the parking lot, those lifeguards. We walk in this, drive in this big place, and they're out there having fun, having nuts. Welcome, we're glad to have you. You come in here, and we got our Walmart greeters at the door and everything, you know. And what it is, that is important because hopefully somebody will make you feel that you're special. You see, here's the key, and here's the stage, I think, of how this all works. First of all, those three blanks, we belong. Once we belong, then we believe. And once we believe, then we begin to behave differently. Okay? Once you belong and you feel a part, then you say, "Whoa, what do you guys believe?" And once you find out what they believe, that radically changes how you behave and live your life. Now, look at those three words. I want you to know in the church that I grew up in and in many churches today, it is exactly the opposite. You say, "What are you talking about?" In the church I grew up in, you better behave before you ever get in. You can't smoke, cuss, chew, run with girls that do. You're out unless you got to straighten up before you never come. And so you got to behave right. And then once you behave right, the church I grew up in, he's Methodist, wrong church. He's Lutheran, wrong, you know, Baptist. No, you had to believe right. So you had to behave right. And then if you behaved right and believed right, then we'd say, "Welcome. We're glad to have you." And I want to suggest today that doesn't work today. I think what works today is we want you to feel a part of us. Hang out and have a burger with us afterwards. Watch the football game. Meet a new friend. Take your time to relax because, you see, I believe as people come to the church, the first question they're going to find out is, are these people real or not? And once they find out we're real, then they say, hey, they are different. I think I'd like to belong. I want to be a part of them. And then they say, okay, now that I think I want to be a part of them, I wonder what they believe. And they go to Starting Point, find out what we believe. They get in the neighborhood group, find out what we believe. And then as they watch how we believe, they try to take that and apply it to life and say, how do they behave differently? Because the bottom line is, if we don't behave differently, there's no reason for people to come here. Amen. So that's the key today. A lot of people go to church, but they live like the world. And so what we've got to do is belong, believe, and behave. And so what's action item three? I'll commit to being a part of a neighborhood group. Oh, great. I knew you were going to get me there. Why is neighborhood ministry so important? It's where you get connected. It's where we learn to become dependent on each other. It's where we need to find a place to belong. And you know, many of you are thinking, and you're okay. You're saying, I'm in all kinds of other groups, Pastor. I don't need a neighborhood group. Yes, you do. Because the church is the only hope of the world. And it's the neighborhood groups where we're connecting people to impact others for Jesus Christ. Number four, we must see the church as a place to live out what we believe. Got to live it out. In addition to belonging, the church also gives us a place to grow spiritually. The Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, our faith grows as we hear God's word explained and proclaimed. But it's living out our faith that adds depth to our faith. It's not going to more and more Bible studies that does not necessarily mean that your faith's going to get deeper. You might have more knowledge. Your knowledge might deepen. Doesn't mean your faith is going to deepen. You say, well, illustrate. Okay, I used to coach and play sports. Here's the key. You can go to practice every day and memorize a playbook. And you can go to practice tomorrow and memorize a playbook. And you can know the playbook inside and out, but you'll never know how to play the game until what? You get in the game. You have to what? Apply what God's word says. That's why James says, don't merely listen to the word because you'll deceive yourself. Do what it says. How do we live out our faith in a world where we put ourselves first? I think one of the most incredible ways to live out your faith is by serving others. Find a place to serve in this church. Find a place to serve in your neighborhood. Find a place to serve others in the valley. There are some incredible organizations and charities and causes that I want to encourage you as believers in Jesus Christ to get involved in. Action item number four, I will find a place to serve consistently. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is at its best when the world is at its worst. We exist not for ourselves. The church exists for those out there that don't know Jesus Christ. You see, a church is at its best when it rarely makes the headlines. Andy Stanley and Craig Rochelle were here this week, leading pastors in America, and they said, you know, we don't know a lot about your church. And I said, that's good. That's good. We're not interested in making the headlines. We're interested in changing people's lives. It doesn't mean churches that are making the headlines aren't interested in changing people's lives. But I want to tell you, your whole focus changes when you're more concerned about getting coverage than just changing people's lives. Because you get up every day and you say, God, what is it that you want us to do to impact this city? A church is at its best when it loves radically and serves sacrificially and gives generously. You see, many people believe that they don't want to join a church because they don't think there's any way that God could work through them and their imperfections. But the Bible looks at it totally different. In Acts chapter 4, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were ordinary, unschooled men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The word we translate ordinary in the Greek word, it is idiotes. Idiotes. It means untrained, unskilled. Idiotes. Sound familiar? We get our English word idiotes, idiot. In other words, they looked at Peter and John and said, you guys are unschooled and ordinary. You are idiots. But they took notice they had been with Jesus Christ. The religious leaders concluded that simply being with Jesus Christ had transformed Peter and John. I want to ask you, how about you? How has your life been transformed and changed because of Jesus Christ? I didn't say how long you've been going to church because of Jesus Christ. How has your life been transformed? Can others who know you and work with you and live with you, can they see the difference in your life? Remember who Jesus recruited as his first followers? Tax collectors. IRS guys, fishermen, revolutionaries, uneducated people. Remember who Jesus did not recruit as his first followers? No rabbis, no priests, no pastors, no Pharisees, no one with formal religious training. When Jesus began his ministry, he surrounded himself with the lonely, the broken, and the overlooked. What's the main takeaway? If you don't feel like God can work through you, then you are exactly what God's looking for. Because his only qualification is you're willing to serve anywhere and at any time. Craig Groeschel, in his book, The Christian Atheist, tells the story about a pastor who finished his sermon, walked to the back of the church, stood in the lobby to greet everybody, and a young man walked up to him, shook his hand, and said, "The answer is yes. Now, what's the question?" The pastor was confused. He said, I don't understand. And again, the young man said, "Pastor, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question?" And the pastor said, "I'm sorry, I don't get it. Explain it to me." And the young man said, "Pastor, 6 months ago, I was in an adulterous relationship. My life was spiraling out of control. I was at risk of losing my marriage and my family and even in my job. In the middle of my storm, a mess I made myself, I came to church and heard a message about Christ's power to change a life. That evening, I agreed to go to a small group with my wife. I was terrified they would make fun of me, but I was shocked when everybody embraced me. And that night, I invited Jesus Christ to change my life, and boy, did he ever. Today, my marriage and my family are better than they've ever been before. God used your church to change my life. So, Pastor, that's why I want you to know my answer is yes. Whatever you need, anytime, anywhere, my answer is yes. Now what's the question?" End of story. When it comes to the church, what's your answer been? No? Has it been maybe, if I have time? Or has it been an unconditional yes? Can you imagine how much your life might change if you said yes to God and to your church? Can you imagine how much this church would change if you stepped up and said, "Yes, you can count on me anytime, anywhere to do anything"? I know what you're thinking. Oh, in a large church like CCV, they don't need me. I mean, they got plenty of people. Look around. This place runs pretty smooth almost every weekend. They don't need me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Because the more people God brings to us, the more needs that people have. And the more needs that people have, the more people we need to step up and help meet those needs. Major takeaway? I now realize that Christ Church really does need me. God, I don't think you can work through me. You're exactly the kind of person God is looking for. And I want you to know, our ministry's not complete unless you're a part of it. Because we're all a body. And we all have many parts. And a church this size, we got a lot of parts. And believe it or not, in the complex body that we have, even when one part does not function effectively, it does what? Affects the whole body. And that's why I never underestimate that God brought you even to this larger church for a purpose. Because you have something to offer that's not being done here. And God wants to use your gifts and your ability and your expertise to maybe start a new ministry to reach people that we've never reached before. If you're not a part of CCV, I would encourage you to take Starting Point and be a part of the team. You say, I'm a part of the team. I've been coming here for 15 years. No, you're not a part of the team. Take Starting Point and sign up to play. If you're already on the team at CCV, I want to ask you, are you in the sidelines or in the game? Totally different perspective, whether you're watching or whether you're playing. And if you're on the sidelines, our key statement for this year is what? We need to step up. Would you step up and get in the game? Gang, men, women, young people, you are needed to change this church. You are needed to change this city. You are needed if we are going to impact the world. So what do? I want to encourage you this week to call the church or stop by the information center on the way out. Give them your name and how we can get a hold and simply say, "The answer is yes. What do you need me to do?" And God will use you to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the church. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the bride of Christ. You died for the church. I'm so honored to serve with so many people here on this team. People who are working 50 hours in the marketplace, and they're still given 15 to 20 hours in the ministry, in their neighborhoods, serving on the weekend, doing whatever it takes behind the scenes that nobody knows, dear God, but you. And these people are as good as gold. We would never be impacting this city without them. Lord, and so for those that are on the team, help us not to be so concerned about what position we play, but help us to just simply follow our leader and coach, Jesus Christ, and play wherever he wants us to play. And Lord, I pray for those that are here, but they haven't stepped up yet. May they not feel this as a guilt trip. May they feel this as a need for them to go to the next level spiritually. Because really, Christian growth comes not when we just study and study and study, but when we take that study and we understand who Jesus is and we have a heart like Jesus and we serve others. Lord, we pray for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're already doing. And we pray that from next week forward, we'd go out of our way to make one new person feel special every week. Because you love us so much, you died for us. Because we're special. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. This weekend, starting point. If you haven't signed up, all you have to do is show up. Tomorrow, look in your bulletin. Do that. You look in your bulletin, you'll see the October Decisions for Christ. We continually are praising God. It is awesome. This November, I can't tell you what's happening. All I mean is the first 2 weeks of November, we have run almost 4,000 ahead of what we were running last November, and I can't figure it out. Of course, I've never been able to figure it out. You keep bringing your friends. You keep praying and trusting God, and we're going to give him all the credit. So we praise God for those decisions for Christ because they represent lives that are changed, marriages that are saved, and families that will never be the same. Next week, we're going to be talking about It's So Good. I'm not going to tell you right now. You're going to have to wait till next week to find out what it's going to be like. Isn't that bad? That is bad. Dustin, we're glad to have you, man. You know what I mean? Thanks for coming. Can you believe his story when he goes home? All right? And it's the same story that you're going to have. One lady emailed me this week, and she said, I've had a friend I've been trying to get to come to CCV for a long time, and she said, why would I go to that big church? I'll never get to see the pastor. Nobody will ever know who it was. And by the grace of God, it was one of those weeks when I prayed, God helped me meet a first-time person, and I happened to meet her just outside. And she emailed her friend and said, you are not going to believe what happened. You know, it's not just me. Every one of you have a story to tell, a life to share with people that need a friend and they need to belong. And so there are Dustins every week that come to this place, all right? So thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We are so blessed. God bless you. Next week, it's going to be on, you'll have to wait and see. Have a good week.